Good morning, this is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you doing?
Vroom, vroom, this weekend.
Yes, sir. It is hydro time. We need to get the show knocked out, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. He's not in the studio with us because we know Mike Denslow, the past president of the Water Follies, and he's doing a lot of work. He's down there now, but we're going to get him on the phone in the second segment and see if we can chat with him a little bit about how things are going down there.
He's probably managed to talk himself into a ride on a boat.
He has in the past. He's been known to do that.
Probably driving one this weekend.
And so we definitely will be catching up with him. We do have in the studio with us, we have Mr. Garrick Russell with Professional Investments. Garrick, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. We always like to get you in here and talk to us a little bit about the money and some stuff behind it. So we're going to nail you down on a couple questions here in a little bit. But before we get to that, we always like to start off with kind of our celebrity real estate story.
Mm-hmm.
And so here it is.
In other words, a fool and his money shall soon be parted.
Well, this one's done pretty well with his money, but he is having a little struggle. So a familiar name, Mark Wahlberg, has his home back on the market. He might be great at starring in action films and Hollywood blockbusters, but having a little trouble getting his house sold. Something tells me it has to do with that price point, though. He first listed his huge estate in Beverly Glen in 08 for $15.9
million. Mm-hmm.
In 2009, when they were expecting baby number four, they delisted it for a while to get through that. In 2011, back on the MLS again, from 15.9 to 13.9, still unsold, and just hit the market again at 12.9.
Wow.
Now, it is, it's an ultra-private compound. It's definitely what they would call a trophy property. 5 bedrooms, 8.5 bath home, and it sits on nearly 2 acres, which is prime real estate in that California area.
5 bed, 8 bathrooms?
5 bed, 8.5 baths. Don't forget that extra half bath.
Okay.
Also, a guest suite with 2 additional bedrooms and baths on the property. 11,500 square feet. Okay,
wow.
So now you got to be saying, why is he selling? You know, people sell for various reasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's still in that industry. He's still living down there.
He's still making money.
Well, one of the things, it's reported that he's looking to get rid of this property so he can concentrate on his massive construction property of building the new 33,000 square feet home. so there you have it. That is the Mark Wahlberg real estate celebrity real estate update. So these houses are phenomenal. I tell you what, every week when I research these and find the one, this current home, the one that's for sale, has a full-size 2-story gym, including a full-size boxing ring that he used to get in shape for his movie roles. So, you know, just your common tools of the trade, just like the microphone we're using, McKay.
Mm-hmm. Except ours don't cost $15 million.
Ours don't cost $15 million. So that is our celebrity real estate news story. We always like to temper that with some local real estate news, what's happening.
Reality.
Get back to a little bit of reality. Now, this very well could be a problem that happens with a unique property like his, but I definitely wanted to kind of touch on what happens in our real estate contracts when we come across what's known as kind of the dreaded low appraisal. We don't see that very often. We haven't seen that very often in the market, but I have to tell you, it's cropped up a couple times in the last 3 weeks. We've had more than one come in on both sell side and buy side. And so I kind of wanted to go over how does a buyer approach that when it happens, and what do you do in that situation? So there's a couple reasons that a low appraisal can happen. One can be there might not be very good comparables for the property you're buying when the appraiser goes to use it. Number two could be the comparables that are available could be too old for them to use. The bank won't accept them. Maybe the bank will only accept comparables in the last 4 months. And then the third reason could be that actually it could be that the property is overpriced and it is not worth, in the bank's viewpoint and that appraiser, it's not worth what the market said it was between that buyer and seller. So it's kind of an age-old battle and debate that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And the appraisers are under a lot of scrutiny from the banks these days. There's a lot more reviews of appraisals, and a lot of times they're even calling out the comparables that they're using and requesting changes and updates. So generally what happens when we have an offer with a buyer, we write a financing addendum because they're getting financing from that bank.
Mm-hmm.
The bank is then ordering the appraisal to verify. They want to make sure that the asset they're lending on is protected. So that appraiser is their vehicle to decide, okay, yes, we can lend, you know, 80% of the value on that property. So what happens is there's an appraisal less than sales price contingency, and that states exactly on our forms, if the buyer's lender's appraised value of the property is less than the purchase price, the buyer within 3 days after receipt of a copy of that appraisal give notice, which includes a copy of the appraisal, the buyer's election to terminate this agreement, unless the seller within 10 days after receipt of such notice delivers to buyer either A or B. So A or B. A is, let's look at A first. A is a reappraisal or reconsideration of value at the seller's expense this time by the same appraiser or another appraiser acceptable to the lender in an amount not less than the purchase price. So at that point, what we have is the seller needing to get another appraisal, either that or have the same appraiser give a reconsideration of value. I will tell you, though, in reality, day-to-day, in the trenches, what we're seeing out there, you know, in Tri-Cities, that might be what is written on the form, but rarely does that option come to fruition. Because
wow.
A lot of times right now with lenders, even if they get a second appraisal, and that is at the purchase price, if they have one low appraisal on that property, it a lot of times will kill the deal. They won't look at a second appraisal many times. So in reality, that's going to be less of an option than, say, B. And option B in that scenario is the seller's written consent to reduce the purchase price to an amount not more than the amount specified in the appraisal, or an appraisal by another appraisable acceptable to the lender. So that is saying that the seller's option at that point is to reduce to the appraised value.
And most of the time that's what happens?
You know, it's generally, actually, most of the time, once again, let's talk about reality in the trenches. Most of the time, it's another negotiation. A lot of the times it's a hybrid of those two. So say we're off by $10,000 on an appraisal. Property, buyer and seller agree to $300. The appraisal comes in at $290. A lot of times what happens is sometimes there's some negotiation that goes on there. A lot of times they'll end up splitting the difference. Say it is, you know, and end up at 295. Mm-hmm. What that means is that the lender will lend on the 290 value still, but then the buyer agrees to bring in the additional $5,000. So what happens a lot of times in these situations is it's a unique property, meaning say they've done a $100,000 outdoor kitchen and pool area, but of a house that is a smaller size. Well, there's a lot of value there for somebody. Somebody might be willing to pay, you know, $30,000 above the area norm to get the $100,000 in improvement.
Because of the renovation.
Exactly. So a lot of times they end up having to bring that extra money for those features in themselves. So there's a lot of different ways that that can play out. But you're right. Many of the cases, because that is what the bank is saying the property is worth, many times the seller ends up having to reduce to that appraised value.
You know, this reminds me of a point you brought up on the show. After you buy a house, you need to consider what kind of renovations you're going to make to the house, because if you ever sell it down the road, you don't want to end up in this situation.
Exactly, and this is a perfect situation to where that could happen. There could be $40,000, $50,000 in renovations, but we can tell folks that that might only equate to another $15,000 in value. So that is something that is happening that we're seeing in the market right now. We're counseling our clients about. In fact, McKay, because of that, we have next week on the show, we're going to have Trini Garibay with Elite Renovations talking about the most bang for your value in renovation projects. So we're going to address that from another angle next week on the show. So I'm excited about next week's show already. Okay, you've been hearing about it. Our next topic that we really wanted to talk about is we've been talking about it, but why is it happening? So one of the biggest things, and I wanted to do this, why we had Garrick here, why we had an investment guy here. One of the things we keep saying is that interest rates are at record lows. And, you know, they keep going down to numbers and values that experts said, you know, 2 or 3 years ago that were ridiculous and would never happen, but it keeps happening. So one of the things I wanted to talk about is not just say that the rates are low on the show, but kind of look at why are the rates low? What exactly is making that happen? So there was a great article done in Time Business, and I knew Garrick would have a little bit of perspective on this also, is just, and the article led, it said the founding fathers would gawk at these rates. They would just be shocked. They might be rolling over in their graves as we do the show. So we talked a little bit about that, that really that the 10-year notes, you know, were below 2%. 10-year treasury notes, you know, below 2%, you know, even down in the ones. And that is the lowest in the history of the United States. The article from Time Business goes on to state a little bit about that generally when rates are really high or really low, that's not necessarily a good thing. So, Garrick, talk to us a little bit about what happens, you know, what is kind of the scenario we've come across now that that we're seeing this? What happens in that market? Because it's complicated to me.
Yeah, it's really complicated. And imagine if you were the Federal Reserve chief. I mean, that's a whole other mess. You know, Chief Bernanke, he's got a problem in front of him. And I'm not sure if he or his team know how to handle it. And I use an example. There was a show, Too Big to Fail, on TV. I believe it was on HBO. But they talk about that stuff, and they show them in the back room, and it gives the impression that they're not very confident with some of the things that they were doing. But at this point, they've got to solve some problems. And what are the problems? A lot of people don't look at the big picture, but you have to remember that the U.S. is the top. I mean, we're still more or less a superpower, and people are going to come to us for our debt, and they're going to purchase our debt as a way of stabilizing their country. We've always dealt with it in the past. Things are starting to change. Our debt is not as attractive as it once was, so that makes it kind of an interesting thing. You have to remember that the U.S. is one of many, many countries, and we've got an issue still over there in Greece. We've got a gigantic issue. For those of you that don't know, over in Greece, people are worried that they may not be part of the euro, and if they do change into their local currency, it's probably their value is going to drop in half. Imagine if we had that around here. I mean, the thought freaks. I mean, it's a scary thought.
So, and you bring up a good point. So that's what you have happening. You have a country over there where the folks have all of their money in the bank or in gold bars or wherever they have it. They have all their money in the bank, and they're saying that what could happen is in a week or 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now, we could change, we could leave the euro and go back to our own currency.
I think it's called the dramas or something.
And if that happens, the money that you currently have in the bank could be worth half as much.
Yeah,
you
know, wow.
Instead of risking that, you have folks where they want to flight to quality. They don't care about the return on the
Their return is nothing. They're looking for safety.
Let's take our $100,000, let's ship it into the U.S., and let's buy into the U.S. and buy those safe treasuries, buy those bonds.
Correct.
And so what? And then that way, when that changeover happens, they don't have
protected.
They still have their $100,000 that they put into the U.S. and their money is not cut in half. So all of a sudden, we have this huge influx of money coming in into these securities, and that's keeping our interest rates extremely
low. Yeah, it is, because we have money. It's a big problem, because what's going on is We need it also because our economy is not perfect either. So it actually, you mentioned earlier, you said typically when rates are very low or very high, there's some kind of problem. This is a unique one because we also need to keep those rates low so that people do buy homes and do buy cars and expand their business. We need to get our unemployment fixed a little bit. We need to get more jobs out there. So I would argue that if we're looking at the big picture, this is not the same as normal. I agree that it's not a good thing that rates are low, but this might have actually saved us a little bit because we need all those things. We need, Lance will tell you firsthand, we need to get some houses. We got to get things moving again. And so luckily we have that money to loan because imagine if the opposite was true. We were in the same exact position, but people weren't coming to U.S. to buy our debt. And we did it, and rates were high. And let's give the chief a little, let's give him a little credit here because he's got this thing probably going as well as it could.
In this given situation.
Yeah, in the given situation. And, you know, everything is different. In the 70s, we had a problem. In the 80s, we had a problem. This is a bigger problem than we've had in the past.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think people forget that when they see these rates. You know, Mike's not here today, but I think we can all, you know, we know that rates on the 15 and 30-year mortgages, they're both below 4. The 30s below 4 now, right, Lance?
It is.
Or close.
Not close. Okay. It is. And I won't even, I mean, I don't even want to say, I got an email from a lender, and I've been talking about this. One of the reasons why I wanted to do the show on this, because I got an email from a lender, you know, earlier in the week that said the title was, I never thought I would see this. And in the email, it's like, I just quoted somebody 2.5% on a 15-year mortgage. And I said right then, okay, that does it. I'm doing the radio show on it this week. because, I mean, this is, it is incredible. I mean
people don't realize how big of a difference. And Lance, I mean, you know how this works, but if we only go back 10 years ago, back to where we had 7 or maybe 7.5, maybe 8% on interest rates,
right?
That house payment, the difference between 3.5 and mid-7s,
it's crushing.
It's absolutely crushing, and it lets you do one of two things. You can purchase more house,
yep.
Or you can get the same house, and your payment's going to be a couple hundred dollars less. And you got to remember, that's either for 15 or 30 or 10 years or whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
And it puts us in what an amazing time to go out and upgrade our house or purchase a house. People need to be out there looking at properties and mortgages.
I tell you what's so exciting about it is I'm putting these, I call them kids, but I'm putting these 20-year-olds and early 30-year-olds into these houses with 10 and 15-year mortgages. And, that is going to go by in the blink of an eye. And they are going to be set up. These, you know, I shake my head. I grin from ear to ear when I put a 22-year-old into his first house on a 10-year mortgage because that they can afford that now where the rates are and think at 32 he's done. I mean, his house is paid off. It's incredible, McKay. I mean, it makes my job really fun.
And that's the point of the interest rate. See, we want you to get excited. We want those rates low because we need to be building more houses. I mean, I guess some people would argue we don't necessarily need to be buying more cars and buying this, but what we do need to do is we have to stimulate the economy. We've got to get some jobs back and that sort of thing. And there's your interest rate, Tom.
Perfect. I've got a couple more points about why the rates are low. I'm going to get to that when we come back after the break, though. I told Mike we would call him or get him on the phone. So during the break, we're going to organize that. We're going to get a little hydro update and talk to Mike Denslow and go over a couple more points. Why are the rates where they are?
And we'll be right back on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been here talking. Garrick and I have been breaking down the world's financial problems to why interest rates are so low. We've had a lot of fun doing it. We Mike, if you missed it, we're so glad that you could check in with us. But we really just kind of broke down some of the reasons, flight to quality, some of the financial crisis around the world that's just really causing these unprecedented rates. I told them that you were the reason with your email of like, oh my gosh, I thought I would never see this rate. You were kind of the driving force behind the show this week because when I saw that, I said, that does it. Hands down, I'm doing the show about rates, from a macro perspective. So We know you're at the Hydros. We appreciate you ducking in and taking the time to call in. How's everything going? And, yeah, give us the update.
Well, everything's excellent. There's lots of stuff going on down at the river this weekend. I won't take credit for where rates are at or anything like that, or even quote rates over the phone or on the radio. Obviously, I can't do that, but they are, again, you know, we keep saying historic lows, and they're definitely there. There was improvements this week as far as rates even dipping a little bit lower. I've quoted out some rates to clients buying homes that I have never seen before in my 7.5 years in the business, and from what we hear, you know, it's the best ever. So it's never been a better time to, you know, get pre-approved to buy a home. And you and I have talked many times, Lance, you know, about the whole step-up idea. You know, you're in a home, you've been in it 5 years, and you need a little bit more space. Well, shoot, you know, how difficult is it to, you know, sell your place, get a new place, and have a very similar payment? Even though you're buying more of a home.
Yeah, we've done that for a ton of clients the last couple months, and that is a great point. Garrick and I talked a little bit about that before the break, so that's a really good point. So what's on the agenda at the river down there? Give us a little insider knowledge, Mr. Hydro.
Well, the air show is going to go on lunchtime, both Saturday, Sunday, 11:30 to 1:30. There's pretty much testing before that today, and then racing in the afternoons. And then on Sunday, there's opening ceremonies are at 10, and then we're going to have some racing before the air show on Sunday and after the air show on Sunday. So it's a pretty much packed day. Both days will end around, you know, 4:30, 4:45 in that time frame. But it's the community event of the year. Last year we had over 70,000 people down at the river, and, you know, this year expecting the same. So great weather. You know, there's no reason to take a look. And a lot of people talk about the chaos of the Kennewick side and everything, and if you've got kids and, you know, with parking and everything, hey, go over to the Pasco side. You know, the prices are the same. The parking's a lot easier to get in and out of. And there's grass all the way down to the river.
Perfect.
So, that's where I grew up, Pasco side. That's what we did. It's only been, you know, the last 6-7 years that I've been involved with Waterfallies that I've spent all my time on the Kennewick side. It's just the two offer, you know, completely different views of the race course. And if you want to just relax and you don't want to deal with tons of people, yeah, go to the Pasco side, you know, lay down a blanket and put your feet in the water and watch an air show and some boat racing.
Well, sounds great, Mike. We'll be looking for you down there a little bit later. So once again, thanks for all you do for our clients, and then thanks for being so involved in such a big community event, because people come to events like that. We bring in those tourism dollars. And it's one of the things that diversifies and supports Tri-City. So thanks again for your help at that event. And we'll let you get back to work and get back to trying to get a ride in one of those boats.
Sounds good, guys. Talk to you later.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Fabulous. We appreciate Mike taking the time to check in with us. We'll get him back in the studio next week. Back in the business, but a huge event going on. We're excited to see everybody. I tell you, it's always fun, you know, checking those boats out and what they do.
Vintage boats, that's my favorite.
That is a big, big event for our area. So we appreciate all the volunteers and the hard work it takes to make that happen. Before the break and the first segment, we talked a lot about this kind of breaking down why rates are where they're at. We talked a lot about the flight to quality, what's happening there. It was really interesting to me, and it just kind of blows my mind, Garrick, but one of the things it pointed out is, you know, the U.S. is not the only economy where people are buying these bonds and having a flight to quality. It is the biggest and deepest market, so we see a lot of that. But I was shocked that there was actually even cases of what's happening is a lot of people are going into, like, say, the Swiss market, and some of these notes that they're buying actually have a negative return. People are actually paying to lend money to those bonds, but it's that flight to safety that they feel is even more important than, say, another say, gold or in somewhere else they could put their money?
Yeah, I think that the real answer there is people are confused. You've got some people that are retired that need yield. So why would somebody that needs yield head over to something like this, a Swiss bond that has a negative return? Well, not only do these people need yields that are retired, they also have to maintain their principal. They can't let their principal go down, at least not a whole bunch. So your options for preserving principal and or your retirement, you could go over to gold. Gold's pretty close. You know, gold's high. If we look historically, gold's very high. So some people are a little scared of that because if you put your money into gold, it could go down in value. So why would somebody go over to a Swiss bond where they're going to have a negative return? They might actually feel more comfortable with that government than the other governments around them,
right?
Or the
right.
U.S. for that matter. There's a lot of people that don't have a lot of confidence in the U.S. right now. And the difference is not as big as it sounds. And we talked about the yield on the U.S. Treasury note, under 2%. On the Swiss side, you're barely negative. I agree, I don't want a negative returning asset. But if you have more confidence over in that government than you do in the U.S., and we all know we're not out of our problems yet over here, then maybe a negative yield is for you. I disagree, but there are people that do go that direction.
But in commenting on that article, I appreciate your frankness in doing that. I mean, that's one of the reasons we have you on the show, and I appreciate you doing that. There is a lot to think about, especially when you're looking, and, you know, I can imagine, I mean, we talked today about why interest rates are where they are, because it directly affects home ownership. It directly affects how affordable housing can be in this particular market. But when someone comes to you and they've got all of these other, you know, all of these other things going on, it's a complicated job you have. I mean, you're looking, you talked about preserving equity. You talked about return on the money. This is quite a process. Like, that's why I need to have a professional like you on my team, and I do, because it actually, the more you are here talking on the radio show, the more it makes my head hurt.
Yeah, and, you know, I originally got licensed in April of 2000, so you can only imagine the 12 years that I've had as an investment advisor. Mm-hmm. The business has changed. A lot of people want to do it on their own now, and, you know, as things change and people do it on their own, which isn't a bad thing, we all have more options, and we have to figure out, you have to figure out how you're going to proceed with your retirement in the future, and a lot of us need help by somebody like myself. I'm as confused as everybody else. I have more information at my disposal, so I'm able to soak a lot of that in, and I'll give you multiple perspectives.
That's
because
the difference.
Everybody is so much different. And I think what most people need is, there are going to be people that go out there and buy the Swiss bonds. A lot of them are going to buy them for the wrong reasons. They get that it's a negative return. There are ways to sneak out returns. You know, you got to remember, there's short-term debt. There's long-term debt. I mean, there's debts. There's all sorts of durations. And depending on where you're at in your retirement cycle, there's going to be something for you.
Right.
I like to sit back right now and kind of, I'm doing a lot of short-term debt because I have a feeling eventually, whether it be 2 or 3 years, maybe even 5, the way they're talking, eventually rates have to go up. Well, we'd all agree with that.
We would.
I mean, if you're going to say rates are going to go up or down, Lance hinted at it earlier. if they go down any farther, which they might, he's going to get another surprising call from Mike. So, so the point is that it wouldn't surprise us if rates go up.
Right.
So the game I'm playing is, I have a lot of short and limited term debt, and I'm waiting. I'm hoping that my people that are near retirement, if we time this just right, maybe the market could come up a little bit. Maybe rates could come up a little bit. The economy could get on its feet. And we could lock in some rates that will help these people get a legitimate return on their money instead of this 1.5%, 2%.
Nope, you're exactly right. So,
it's like paying people to buy your ice cream.
Seriously, that's exactly the scenario that was laid out in this article. Garrick, I couldn't be happier that you were here today to help me kind of wade through this. I always give a very simplistic view of it because I don't understand the intricacies like you do. So thanks again. We appreciate you being in here. If somebody has questions about their investments and getting some help from you, what's the best way that people can contact you?
Well, they can contact my office at 509-735-3000.
Perfect.
We're also on the web at www.poweredbypims.com.
Sounds great. Well, once again, we appreciate you being in here. Like I said, we've got an exciting show next week talking about some renovations and some remodeling with an amazing contractor. We look forward to that show and seeing you guys back here next week. Everybody be safe out there. Be safe in the water and stay out of trouble this weekend.
And we'll see you next weekend right here on News Talk 870.